You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I handled it the wrong way when I went on a bus. I don't ask nobody to go on the bus.
But you remember molesting my sister and me.
One of them. I don't know which.
Yeah, but, and it was, he molested me,
well,
too.
Well, most military men are not in favor of the change. Also, it can damage unit cohesion.
I don't think anybody needs to be thrown to the ground and have their neck broken just...
Oh, we're going to be talking about that again tonight. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Oh, yeah, that poor man in Orlando, that's turned into quite the story. And later on tonight, we're going to have Dave Oliva on, who is an aspiring LAPD officer and a student of law enforcement and criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. He'll be joining us. Bobby and Steve Dooley right around the corner. We're going to be discussing a San Jose police officer who pretended to arrest a boy that had sex with his stepdaughter. He didn't arrest him. He pretended to arrest him, but it's got people up in arms. It's got people claiming false imprisonment and false arrest and so on and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, right now, live streaming video and live streaming audio of the radio show as we speak. So head on over there and watch us. It is really the only radio show on Earth in the history of man on this planet that's interesting to watch as well as listen to. And you just can't say that about any other show. I don't care which one. Maybe Wolfman Jack might have been kind of interesting to watch, that cat doing his thing. But anyway, head on over to philhendryshow.com. We have a brand new download, a uncensored pre-show rant. Now, if you're listening to our radio show, you've already missed 1 hour of the show because we do an hour on video. So we do basically a four-hour show every night. We do 1 hour on our video cast, which is completely uncensored, and then we launch into our radio show. So if you do not have a BSP, then you missed like 1 hour of the show. And we upload those rants and turn them into downloads so you can go over to the website and get those. And we also have a brand new Classic Phil podcast, which is Vernon Dozier talking about his job at Subway, augmenting his salary as a teacher. And that means he gets to go out with anybody's 15-year-old daughter that he wants to. So that's over there at philhendryshow.com. Now, our affiliate spotlight tonight in Seattle, Cairo, 97.3 FM. Great station, great city, and a great affiliate. We appreciate it. And in Bloomington, Illinois, WRPW 92.9 FM. All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. It's kind of a dual role that you have there, Bobby, in your community. And you sort of have tabs on the parents and the kids, don't you?
Yes, it's an interesting way of staying in touch with families, Phil. We stay in touch with the parents by way of our homeowners association and their interest in property and our CC&Rs and our community, our physical community, and then of course we are in touch with the young people through our parent teacher. But let's keep in mind that we have a great many parents that are members of the PTO. We're very proud of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I should say that there are a lot of parents that are involved in that.
And we're very, very proud of them. So, yes.
All right. This story in San Jose, California. San Jose cop pretends to arrest son for having sex with officer's stepdaughter. A San Jose police officer is being criminally investigated for handcuffing his stepdaughter's 15-year-old boyfriend and pretending to arrest him for having sex with a 14-year-old girl. You know the story?
Yes, we do.
Prosecutors are probing the incident, parts of which are caught on a smartphone video, to see whether the officer committed a criminal false imprisonment soon after he showed up. Now, the parents of the boy are angry. The teenager's parents said they encountered an angry cop abusing his authority. The boy's mother said he came over in full uniform and parked his motorcycle in front of our house. He didn't come over in jeans and a shirt. He didn't come over as a parent. He came over as somebody who had the authority to do whatever he wanted to do to us. And compounding their disbelief, when the boy's parents reported what happened to the San Jose Internal Affairs, their son was later arrested for unlawful sexual intercourse. So that's the standing of the parents of the boy. Now, the father involved in this is the police officer who was having, you know, obviously an issue with his daughter having sex with this boy. And I know when your son, Seth, was out of the house. It was his first year of junior college, 19 years of age, but she was 17.
Well, let's back up a little bit, Phil. I don't want anyone thinking that my son Seth is has been arrested for anything. He has.
No, I know.
My son Seth was having a relationship with a young lady. They were in an automobile, and they were on campus.
Where? What campus?
They were up at her. She was up at UC Santa Barbara, not going to school there, but she was there that weekend looking at the university as a possibility that she might attend this coming fall.
Now, where does your son go to school?
My son goes to Moore Park College, which is a community college.
All right. And where was he discovered having sex with this girl?
They were in her car. Her father had arrived to pick her up, and I think there was an issue where he was going to take her car and she was going to drive his, but they were returning to Los Angeles. The father showed up and, first of all, put a flashlight in the window, which scared both Seth and the young lady. When Seth rolled the window down and asked him what he wanted, he said he was the father of the girl and told him to get dressed. And Seth, of course, doesn't know, so he basically told him to shove off, or however you want to say it, you know.
He told the guy, Mr. Henry, get out of here, get away from me.
He basically said to the man, go away. Now, the girl did say, that is my father.
Okay, so she identified this man who was at the window of the car.
Yeah.
Now, he was at the window of the car because he was supposed to meet his daughter there.
Well, yes, he was supposed to meet his daughter there. I asked him, I said, what are you doing staring in at two young people engaged that way? And he said, I was supposed to meet my daughter there, and I said, well, did you see her anywhere? He said, well, that was her car. I said, okay, but you didn't see her anywhere. So we got into this.
And so you had an argument with the father?
Well, he wanted to charge my son with statutory rape, which was absolutely, you know...
We kind of laughed about it.
Hold on, that's a serious charge.
Well, it's serious if you don't know the law. It scares people that don't know anything about... First of all, my son is 19, she's 17. I don't think anyone is going to say, oh, my God, you know, yes, he's technically 17, yes, he's technically 19, she's technically 17. But I don't think anyone is going to start thinking rape or even statutory or child molestation.
All right, I understand. But the fact is, this man saw your son having sex with his daughter.
That is correct. And the young lady involved was a young lady that Seth liked a lot. Apparently, and this is the part that is really laughable, she told her father when they got out of the car that she didn't want to have sex with Seth, that she was frightened.
Whoa.
No, hold on. You got another story.
Got another whole story, Mr. Henry. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny because Seth told me that she had on, and I will tell you, she had on thong panties. Quite obvious that she was going to be expecting some kind of intimacy. When she got out of the car, though, she told her father, I didn't want to have sex with him. And her father said to my son, I'm going to contact the authorities. Seth got home.
So your son is standing there having been engaged with this girl in a parked car.
Yeah.
And he's talking to the father of this girl who is telling him that he is going to he's going to go to the police, and the girl is making claims.
Well, the reason why that's pretty funny, Phil, is we know her. Seth has known her for, I think he's known her, Steve, for how long? Probably almost a full month. They met in the summer. And she is anything but an innocent virgin.
And how do you know that?
You can tell by looking at her and talking to her.
So, all right, Bobby, if I could, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley concerning her son who was caught having sex in a parked car by this young lady's father. Now, your son being 19 and the girl being 17 would technically make that a statutory rape. But you're saying that this girl was protesting to her. She was saying to her father, "I didn't want to have sex with that guy." Don't you think that this is a serious charge?
No, it's not, Bill. And I can tell you,
big thing happened to me, and it happens to a lot of men, Mister.
No, it doesn't happen to a lot of men, Mister Dooley. I don't think it happens to a lot of men.
Well, Phil, you told me once, and excuse me for betraying a confidence. Were you not engaged with a young lady when you were in high school, and a police officer?
You know, I really wished you hadn't have said that, but I was a high school student, and so was she, yes.
Well, I'm sorry, but you said...
I'm not... You know what, Ms. Dooley, I don't need... I'll take it from here. Yes, I was. I was a high school student. She was a high school student. It was an Arcadia cop. He came up with a flashlight. He looked at us, and he said, "Well, why don't you guys, get out of here," because we were up at Chantry Flats. It's got nothing to do with what you're talking about.
What I am talking about are two innocent young people having a sexual... Yes, it's wrong. But
he's 19, she's 17, the father sees this, all right, and this is a father that's come upon this. Was your son clothed?
You know, I don't really want to answer that question, Phil. Steve said three guesses.
I can hear Steve, and if you wanted to get him on an extension, that would be great.
Get on the other extension, Steve.
Three guesses, first two don't count.
Steve said three guesses and the first two don't count. And the reason why he said that is, I think it's obvious that someone is going to have their clothes off. But the point that I'm making here is that these are two kids. Here comes the father making a much bigger thing out of this than he should, saying it's going to be statutory rape. Here she is playing the innocent victim. We have known Kim since we met her at Newport Beach in August. She's a lot of fun, but she's obviously not a virgin.
Well, you don't know that. This is your impression of her. So what we have here now is a young man who, your son, Seth, who's going to be charged with statutory rape, and a girl who was claiming that he forced himself on her, and a father who found the two of them having sex. And, Ms. Dooley, you think that nothing's going to happen.
Nothing will happen, no.
Let's not call a 17-year-old girl a slut.
I don't think Steve said that.
Well, I heard the word, okay?
I'm saying it. First of all, these are two young innocent.
The point is, Phil, older people, whether they're a police officer, whether they are a father, whether they're a mother, older people resent the sex that young people have. They resent it because they can't have it themselves anymore. They resent it because they miss those days of a sort of a wild youth, where you would just park a car and make love. They resent it because it doesn't happen to them anymore. And so my son, my 19-year-old son, he's not 25, my 19-year-old son has been selected by this father to be some sort of a crucifixion of some kind, or a sacrificial lamb to protect his daughter.
So that's what you think it is. A guy is protecting his daughter because you don't think she has virtue. But the fact is, if your son is 19 and she's 17 and the father found them and the girl is claiming to the father she was forced, was she?
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
All right, but that's what the girl was claiming. All right, 877-876-PHIL. A 19-year-old boy and a 17-year-old girl... the father has found them, and he is angry, and he's accusing him of at least statutory rape. I mean, it's 19 and 17, but it's still illegal. It sounds like it anyway. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, I got to tell you, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining me from the Western Estates Homeowners Association as well as the Parent Teacher Organization. I got to tell you something, Bobby. You know, I had kids, my stepkids, and my especially my daughter, my stepdaughter Catherine, who was young, and we all, when I say we all, my wife and my boys could see the day when she would become a young woman. And she was going to be a teenager, and she was going to have guys, you know, knocking at the door for her. And we used to laugh about the kind of guys that might be knocking at the door for her, the kind of scumbags, you know.
Well, my son is not a scumbag, Phil.
No, I'm not saying that. But if you're a father with a daughter, and you come upon your daughter in a parking lot, and she's with a guy, and then she gets out of the car and claims that she's been forced into having sex, did you say anything to your son?
What am I going to say to my son? I don't understand you. I came on your program this evening to talk about protecting our kids when they are being accused.
Well, but see, your son is 19. And
no, hold on. Let me explain this to you, Mr. Henry, because I don't think you really get what it is I'm saying and what Steve is saying. My son, Seth, was a varsity letter athlete in high school. He was very, very popular. We had all of the kids at our house throughout his 3 years in high school. We purchased for him a beautiful truck because he really wanted to make an impression his senior year and on into his junior college days. And all the kids looked to him as an example of someone who I guess you could say is cool. So that is Seth, and he is cool. He is likable. He's handsome.
And well, you didn't mention anything. Is he a good student?
He was the victim of very vindictive teachers during his time in high school. These were people that did not like him. They didn't like his popularity. They didn't like the fact that he was handsome. If you look at a lot of high school teachers, Phil, and I'm not trying to say anything, please don't, you know, jump on me, but a lot of high school teachers didn't really make the grade themselves in school, and so they might have settled for a career in teaching.
Well, let's not criticize teachers. What you're telling me is your son, Seth, was a very popular guy in high school.
Very popular, and when he got into college, and also very, very popular with girls, because he's very handsome. When he got over to Moore Park Junior High, because he was going to attend UCLA, but as you know, UCLA has a quota system for the number of Asian students they let in, so that was also unfair.
Your son was kept out of UCLA, why?
Because they have a certain quota of Asians that they let in. So he has been the target, I think, of a lot of unfair circumstances because he's a handsome boy and because he's popular. Now comes this girl that we met at Newport Beach. We rent a house at Balboa Island. My son is very popular, as I mentioned. He's very handsome. This girl, Kim, I can tell by looking at her that she's loose, and I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to know that a young man is going to see that and
try to take advantage of it.
Well, take advantage of it?
Well, he's going to try and obviously endear himself to her. His parents know that Steve and I have money, and this is what I'm getting to. I smell a lawsuit, and I can smell it a mile away. The fact that my boy was in a particular frame of mind where he wanted to have sex with her, even if she was resisting him, I think it was a compliment that he was paying to her.
In what way? You know, Bobby, if a girl is resisting a young man...
You have to understand. She comes from a family that is not very moneyed. Her father's very working class. The fact that my son was paying this much attention to her, I think, is a compliment to her.
And well, if you think it's a compliment to her, but she's still resisting your son's attentions,
then I think they're looking for some kind of...
That's what I said. I thought there's a lawsuit.
That's where we thought that there's a lawsuit, because she can say I was resisting him. Well, I think if it goes to court and you look at Seth, there won't be a girl around that could say they would resist that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Coming back.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't appreciate that.
I apologize.
What I'm saying is that during, are we back on the air now?
We are back on the air, yes.
Well, during that commercial break, I heard you speaking to your staff, and you were using language that I don't appreciate.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley, and I apologize to my staff for using that language.
But what it does is it intimidates. I'm talking about my son. He is a handsome young man. He is well-liked. He's being accused of raping a woman. I call her a woman.
She's 17.
You know what? I don't care. She's a woman. I know it. You know it.
I don't know it. I don't know anything about this girl. You said she's 17.
Well, you want to know something? Her father says she's 17.
And she claimed that your boy was forcing himself on her.
Phil, until you're a woman, I don't think you're ever really going to... That is something that girls do when they want to get a lawsuit going. And her father is just the type. This is a guy that doesn't look like he does very well in life.
All right, Bobby, you may have a case if your son...
Mr. Ray, what's your wife's house?
Hold on, sir. I mean, you may have a case if your son... if there nothing happened that was untoward, if your son was just sitting there on a park bench or something, or if the girl said nothing happened, but the fact that she's saying to her father that he forced himself on me, Dad, you guys got no room to argue, you know?
Oh, so we're going to just... So in other words, the fact that my son, his good looks, and his varsity letter, and this girl who walks... You know, Steve made the joke about this girl walks bow-legged. And
that's a hell of a thing to say about a 17-year-old girl.
Well, Phil, a girl, and I'm speaking in figurative terms, but she figuratively walks bow-legged, and my boy is the one who's going to be indicted. I don't think so.
877-876-PHIL. I think that whatever it is, what they're saying is pretty serious. I think you need to take it seriously. 877-876-PHIL. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
I think that it's absolutely ridiculous that you cannot accept the fact that a 17-year-old girl, if she says no, she doesn't know whether she means no or yes. Little girls like that are...
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point.
How can you, as a woman, call a 17-year-old child names like you're calling her?
I didn't call her. I said she walks bow-legged, and you and I both know.
That's not right. I have a 17-year-old daughter, and I'm telling you
what. What is she doing entrapping my son? Why is she entrapping my son? Why? Why does she entrap my son?
Your son's 19, Ms. Dooley. She's 17. The law sees this as pretty cut and dry.
He's 19. What's the difference between 19 and 17? Nothing.
It's a 2-year difference right there. And there's a difference on how you raise your children.
I raised my daughter to be a popular woman.
You know how many grown men hit on my 17-year-old daughter? That's not okay.
I don't know. I don't know whether you're telling the truth or not. But
well, let's just say the lady is.
I apologize, but I will say...
I have a 17-year-old.
Well, I think you do, but whether they hit on her or not. But let's assume that they do.
How can you justify your son's actions by saying, well,
right,
she's this and she's that? You don't know that.
Everyone loves Seth. Everyone knows my son. They love him. He's very popular.
I keep hearing you
and
say
all of
something about a lawsuit.
Yeah.
A lawsuit? Are you serious?
I think that's what that girl had in mind.
A 17-year-old girl doesn't know anything about no lawsuit. All she's thinking about is growing up.
Her father does. Her father does.
Well, it's
Thank
not
you very
her
much.
Father.
Her
it's,
father.
How would you feel
yes.
if you walked
her
out
father,
to the car? Hold on. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Her
how
father walked
feel?
Up and saw my son
hear me
with
out
his pants
me.
Off.
Let's
how
listen to the lady.
How would you feel
with his pants off?
How would you listen? How would you feel if
his
you walked outside
off.
Right now and you seen your 17-year-old daughter in a car with a 19-year-old boy and they're doing stuff and your daughter tells you, "Mom, Mom, he won't get off of me." What are you going to do? Oh,
what
baby,
I'm going to do is I'm going to say, "Let's everyone calm down. Let's everyone calm down." I would get who is the boy and what was what's going on? And she'd say, let's say he, she said, he's, it happened, in fact, it happened when I was in high school. Raft Bingham was his name. He was the quarterback of our high school team. And I said to my friend, he is the quarterback of the high school team, and it is a compliment that he's paying you.
And, oh, come on, Bobby. A compliment? If the guy's pushing himself on the, what's this guy's name?
Raft Bingham. You didn't know him.
Raft Bingham? I never heard of the guy.
Well, he played in the NFL, so...
Have you never heard of Raft Bingham?
No, I've never heard of Raft Bingham if you played in the NFL. But the fact is, if the girls... You know, I got to tell you something. Are you kidding me? My daughter's being pushed... some guy's pushing himself on my daughter. He says, well, you know, he is the high school quarterback, so consider it a compliment?
Why is your son not... Why is your son not backing up himself? He's a man.
Right now, he's devastated. He's devastated, and he's in seclusion.
You don't sound devastated back in the background. Sounds to me like he's got a guilty conscience, and mommy's sticking
that's
up
my son.
For him.
That's my husband.
I'm a husband, and I can tell you, my son, he can defend himself, too. But I'm kind of, he's devastated.
What is that? I'm sorry, my husband.
All right, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. Frederick. Go ahead, Frederick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. Parents, I'm going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a father, you ought to mm-hmm. take a responsibility and sit your son down and talk to him about sexuality. I was listening
mm-hmm.
to you. Hold on. I was listening to you
mm-hmm.
as you're going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
A person's reputation means nothing, but that character is what's going to
mm-hmm.
last. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you guys don't straighten this situation out, that boy is
mm-hmm.
going to make you cry because you're enabling this guy to do whatever he wants to do. And first of all, the girl was just
mm-hmm.
as wrong as him because they both made that conscious choice to have sex. And they're handling
that's
stuff that God...
It,
hold on.
They're
both
point.
Handling something that
mm-hmm.
God intended for marriage in the first place. They need
mm-hmm.
to set that stuff down and handle that
mm-hmm.
college education, whatever they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They need to take care of that first. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if
no,
you don't handle that stuff right now, that...
Mm-hmm.
If you don't handle that stuff right
yeah.
now, that kid's going to make you cry. Mark my words when I tell you.
Well, I don't know what the kid's going to make me cry. All I know is he came to me and he said, "Mother,
ma'am, it has nothing to do with this girl. Ma'am, it has nothing to do with this girl. Your responsibility is your son, father. That responsibility is yours. If y'all don't sit him down and talk
about that, what do you mean sit him down and talk about what?
What's that?
He already knows how babies are made. Is that what you're talking about? He knows." The way a baby is made—is that what you're talking about,
ma'am?
When you say sit him down,
ma'am.
I think the man is talking more about the lesson of life and relationship. He's 19.
Let me ask this gentleman. My son Seth is 19. She was 17, going on 31.
But the
and
point
I think
is,
you know
ma'am,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
excuse
right.
me, ma'am. Excuse
yeah,
me, ma'am.
31.
Excuse
mm-hmm.
me, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
point is, you are excusing
mm-hmm.
this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't and if you don't stop enabling it right now, it's going to catch up with you.
No,
you better handle it now while
you
got the opportunity to handle it.
That's one of those psychobabble terms.
My husband says that the word enable is sort of a psychobabble. Is there another word you can use?
No, don't use another word. We know exactly what this gentleman's saying. You and your husband, by your behavior, encourage your son to force himself on young girls when they may not want to be in his company. It encourages your son to value looks and popularity, maybe even over an education.
Where did you... I don't really know where you're getting that.
Well, you're telling me that he wasn't admitted to UCLA because they got a quota on Asians. How do we know it wasn't his grades?
How dare you? You know as well as I do.
That guy and that girl. What? Hey, you're worried about what somebody thinks about what the character is going to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Very good.
Well, I don't agree, and I'll tell you again, Mr. Henry, and I think you need to watch yourself because we have a reputation. We are on a public radio station. And you said that my son was not kept out of UCLA because they have a quota on Asians? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, Ms. Dooley, that everything you say about your son, from the fact that he couldn't get into UCLA, to the fact that you never mention his grades, his popularity, it sounds like there are certain aspects to his personality that you're enabling, just like this man said. And
well, you're talking about the psychobabble word today.
Yeah, next thing, Phil, you're going to be saying closure. Are we going to have closure?
The word enable, okay.
Psychobabble.
But that's the closure.
Yeah, why don't we have closure?
All right. Anyway, thank you very much, sir, for your call. If you're going to be childish, you know.
No, I do not think I'm being childish. I'm trying to get to the point. And the point is my boy, who is a 19-year-old young man who is devastated now because he thinks that some, you know, you don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it because I believe in free speech. I believe in the Constitution. Because some bull-legged 17-year-old, yes, I said it, went to her father and said, oh, Daddy, you know, on second thought, I think he was forcing me. I think that's a good lawsuit, Daddy.
Yeah, almost like we're in a southern, like in a good with the wind, you know.
Did you ever see Good with the Wind?
Good with the Wind? You mean Gone with the Wind?
What the movie was?
Yeah, Gone with the Wind.
All right, the same Scarlett O'Hara mentality that these girls have. Yes, I'll say it again, these bull-legged girls.
All right, I don't want to hear that anymore. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about a kid here, 17-year-old kid. So we're not talking about a woman, a professional woman, a woman that's been in the world. We're talking about a kid. Whether she is, whether she's not the greatest kid in the world or whether she's walking the right path or the wrong path, it's got nothing to do with it. Here is Robin on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Robin. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hi. I think this mother has enabled mm-hmm. this child all his life. Mm-hmm. All I can hear is, oh, he's mm-hmm. good looking, he's a letterman, mm-hmm. all this and that. Mm-hmm. If he was mm-hmm. good in whatever sport he played, why didn't mm-hmm. he get a scholarship? Why is he at a community college and not at a 4-year college playing that sport?
Because they have a quota on all, you know, the blacks, as well as...
No.
The quota? What do you mean, a quota on scholarships?
No.
They have the Asians. Mm-hmm.
Not at UCLA.
Good. You say he mm-hmm. is, quota mm-hmm. or no quota, would have received a scholarship. I think it's more he did not have the grade.
Mm-hmm.
He put emphasis on sports, and you did not stop this kid when he was younger. Let him know there are rules and laws that he must follow. And you cannot continue to pat him on the head and downgrade the girls and say, oh, he's good looking, we have money, oh, they're after a lawsuit. No, you are wrong.
Well, you know as well as I, what, this young lady's name is what?
Robin.
Robin.
Yes.
Are you a mother? Are you a mother?
Yes.
All right. You know, Robin, that these girls come after our boys with both mud hooks. Excuse my language. If you have my boy's beautiful, and I'm sure you have a son that is the apple of your eye.
Yeah.
You know what these girls are going to do? They're going to put a ring on his finger, and we'll never see them again.
Bobby.
We'll never see. Some girl is going to put a ring on my boy's finger, and I'll never.
Bobby, if that's the case, that's something that you got to figure out. Is the caller there? I'm sorry, Robin.
Your boy hasn't made any mistake.
Mm-hmm. All my boy did was say to her that he was in a great deal of physical discomfort and needed for her to do what he thought she already knew how to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, my God.
Are you?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
You know...
What?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
This is a
joke.
Okay, look at Robin. We're having a hard time hearing your call, but you're very nice to have called. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break because we had a little bit of breakup there.
Well, maybe, Phil, you need to go outside and, you know, straighten the antenna. Phil, should you go outside and maybe put another coat hanger up?
Yeah, that's very funny. Very funny.
Just run, go down to the cell tower and put another coat hanger on it.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. 877-876-PHIL, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley talking about their son, Seth, who is in quite a bit of trouble, a 19-year-old, having sex with a 17-year-old who claims she didn't want to. Her father is looking to have the boy arrested to sue the family, and Ms. Dooley says, nope, it's all her fault. Another, quote, bull-legged 17-year-old. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, our number 877-876-PHIL. You know, this all started with a story about a San Jose police officer who pretended to arrest a boy who'd had sex with his daughter. He never arrested her, or never arrested him.
Well, that isn't the case.
No, I know that your son was caught having sex with a girl, and the father is threatening an arrest, as well as a lawsuit. This guy's not a cop, is he?
Who, the father of this girl?
Yeah.
I should say not. No, he doesn't strike me as having even that much going for him. Phil, I want to tell you something. We've had these lies come up in the past about Seth. Please don't get me wrong. Karen Bulkey, you remember, Steve?
Oh, Bulkey, she lives over on Dunedin.
She's a single woman. She claimed that my son, if you can imagine that, she claimed that my son was looking at her through her bedroom window one night out in the weeds or wherever. And I said to her, have you looked in a mirror? What handsome, at that time, 16-year-old boy is going to be looking at you.
If she had, it's just good looking, maybe, but it wasn't at all.
How do you know your son was not peeping through that woman's bedroom window?
Because if you saw her, you'd faint. And I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, grow up. How do you know?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, I am fully grown. If you saw her, you'd pass out.
Okay, so she's too ugly for a 16-year-old boy to want to be peeking through a bedroom window at her.
That's exactly right, Mr. Henry, and I'll tell you something else. My boy may not, because he's popular, everybody don't like him.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Go over to a phone call here. William, listening on WZTK. Hello, William, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
I just think that these people need to just step back and rethink what they're doing in this situation. I just can't believe that she continues to say her son is popular and he's an athlete who lettered. Those excuses have nothing to do with this situation. And I would say just from this conversation that they have made excuses for him over the years and just can't accept that he's made a wrong decision. And by him being 2 years older, even if he wasn't of age, he's taking advantage of the situation. He ought to have enough sense to know the law and to have stepped outside of this girl's car
and said, I just can't continue with this.
What man can do that? Well, you get that thing right up in front of your nose.
All right, hold on for a minute. This man is saying, hold on, William. The gentleman is saying, Mr. Dooley, I would appreciate if you not.
I'm just trying to say what man can say no to the band scandal.
What? Are you telling me that my son is not allowed to act like a normal male? That he's supposed to exercise some kind of restraint that only, I dare say, not even the Pope has the ability to do that? And there is a very crude, and your name is William? Is your name William?
I just think that
Mr. Henry, your phone system
you
is the worst.
Son,
Hold on, William. William, hold the line here. What did you ask, Bobby?
I want to say there's an old song about swimming with bow-legged women. Why do you think that became popular? Okay, now you.
Go ahead, William.
I just think that, you're making a statement that it's popular, but you just it just makes me think that you cannot accept that he's done something wrong. And it's good that you support your son, but it's a mistake if you think
Thank
he can't make a mistake.
Well, do you know what I mean by swimming with bull-legged women?
All right, we already got that, okay?
But this is key to what I've been saying this evening. I don't think the gentleman can hear me, though, Phil, so you can hang up on him.
William, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. What was your point?
What was what point?
What you said to me, you not to me, but to the caller, do you know the song about what?
That's bull-legged women.
Will you knock it off with the bull-legged women thing already?
No, that's really, that's a bird popping storm.
Give me the phone, Steve. Steve's on the extension challenge.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like he knows how to hold a phone, okay?
I beg your pardon. My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business. By the way, everyone, visit Steve Dooley at Twitter, www.sdlandscapes.com. Is that right, Steve?
I don't know.
Anyway, you're swimming with bull-legged women.
Phil Hendry.
Ha, ha, ha.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
911 emergency, call me this reporter.
We have a police officer over here being excessive right now.
The bishop wanted to do something very, very special for his
birthday. We have seen a dramatic spike.
Tyler asked him, are you a racist?
We want to vote for somebody with a name like Barack Hussein Obama.
Are you gay?
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond. We go places other talk shows cannot go in order to find you that golden and sterling rod of... Boy, I'm getting a little over the top, aren't I? Golden sterling rod of, you know, truth. All right. And laughs. Truth and laughs, man. 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com right now as well. If you want to watch as well as listen to the show, that's the place to be. And by the way, if you have your mobile device, your Android, your Evo, we are available by way of your mobile phone. So wherever you go, if you're heading out in the evening hours, if you are driving out to work, if you're coming home from work, and while you're driving, you'd also like to watch our show, please do. Just keep one hand on the wheel and then look at the phone. And I'm sure there's not that much traffic out there. You'll be able to navigate it. You know, if you're a passenger in a car is what I'm trying to say. So you can also watch the show as well as listen. And you can listen as well to all of our downloads on your mobile phone. So that is. And by the way, I just heard where iPhone is finally going to break down and go. They're going to go flash, although I don't know. We'll find out. So that's philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Dave Oliva, an aspiring police officer, a student of criminal justice, is going to be talking with us about this excessive force case in Orlando, what they're calling an excessive force case. We have some very revealing 911 audio to play for you. The headline from the Orlando Sentinel, police action against 84-year-old man was over the top and excessive, according to one witness, to the altercation. Also coming up tonight, a woman's body is cut in half to treat cancer, and she survives. This is a new surgical technique. It's unbelievable. We have face transplants. We're cutting people's bodies in half. It's all ahead on our show, 877-876-PHIL. First off, let's take a look at this story from Orlando. We have some audio. We'll also bring on Dave Oliva here in just a second. According to one witness, a person who saw this man, 84 years of age, hip-checked, allegedly, by an Orlando police officer, it was excessive. That, at least, according to one of the witnesses, and we'll find out what, we'll certainly find out what Dave has to think. Here is an unidentified man in this first clip calling 911 to report the officer's incident with this 84-year-old World War II veteran.
911 emergency, tell me this line's recorded.
We have a police officer over here being excessive right now. We just called a little bit ago about this people getting harassed for getting towed. Well, this is an 86-year-old man who was arguing about his car getting towed, and he had been drinking. He touched a police officer. This young police officer flips him through the air on his face.
Okay, in this next clip, the caller is outraged at the treatment that this elderly man received.
Oh, this is just, this is totally over the top.
Okay, the sergeant's on the way out there also. What, do you want to meet with an officer?
I want to meet with the mayor after watching that. That was incredible. Totally obsessive.
Well, the paramedics are on the way, okay? And do you want to meet with an officer?
Believe me, I'm going to be talking to the whole hierarchy up to the governor if I have to, because what you guys did was absolutely over the top. Absolutely.
Okay.
An 86-year-old man, you're flipping him through the air on his head. Good job. Tough guys.
Okay.
I'll be waiting.
Well, that's a guy who apparently thought that the caller, even though she does represent the sheriff's department, had a hand in it. Dave Oliva is with us. Dave, a student of criminal justice as well as law enforcement, and at some point is going to be attending the L.A. Police Academy. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, I think you might have touched on something there, Mr. Henry. I think that guy on that 911 call obviously has an agenda, you know. I wouldn't be surprised, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know. If it's time to really tell, what I think, but I'll tell you what I think right now. That guy who made that 911 call, to me, it sounds like, almost, you could almost say he set it up or something,
Well, no, that's an interesting point of view, but I must say, Dave, and I know that you probably are biased in favor of the police,
Well, I'm biased in favor of truth, I'm biased in favor of truth. And I don't want to be a member of a police force that is going to look the other way if their officers are guilty of some kind of excessive force. Now, I will say, my aspirations lie with the Los Angeles Police Department. They do not lie with the Orlando, Florida Police Department. So I don't know what they teach them down there, and I don't, I'm not all that interested. I know they go to a police academy like every other police officer, but that man there on that 911 call has almost made my argument for me, because I was going to say to you tonight, and I continue to say to you, I'm not looking to say anything other than the following thing. That to me, it's pretty suspicious that all of a sudden this guy has got a busted neck and he's laying in a hospital bed under a tent. And he's getting all this love, I know what a hip check is. A hip check does not make you fly up and fall on your head. A hip check is when basically somebody's trying to get past you, you push your hip out and you just sort of, you lift them up and sort of lay them almost gently on the cement. You don't throw them through the air or anything like that.
You lay them gently. Now, tell me again, because I don't know, and most of us don't know what a hip check is.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty standard maneuver, and it's pretty easy on the body. Has anybody checked out if this old man's neck is really broken?
Well, come on, man. I mean, he's in a hospital.
Well, here's the point I'm trying to make. If you're trying to set up the police to make them look like, criminals, and that they're messing up old people and going around and messing everybody up. It's not a very difficult thing to have your friend standing by to call 911 and go, yeah, okay, when you see me, fly through the air or whatever, call 911.
Now, let's be realistic. What this elderly man, okay, is in the hospital right now with a broken neck. That is the statement of the hospital, and at least that one witness that we heard, the 911 caller, saying that it was excessive.
Okay, I understand that, Mr. Henry, but what I'm trying to say to you is, I know what a hip check is. You're not going to go flying through the air, and if this man is a World War II veteran, then I would expect, and I don't think that I'm being too far off, that he would be a little bit tougher than to be crying, about, oh man, the police, they may hip check me, where they lay you gently on the cement. If you're telling me he breaks his neck on something as gentle as a hip check, this is a trained soldier, and he can't handle being placed on the ground gently by a trained police officer, then
being placed gently on the ground. So you're telling to me, you're telling me that a hip check is where they bump you and then what?
Then they place one arm underneath your shoulders, one arm under your knees, and lay you on the ground. Okay, that's what a hip check is.
What? Hold on. What do you mean one arm under the shoulders and one arm under the knees and lay you on the ground? If you're being aggressive, what makes anybody think that, that you're going to allow anybody to place you gently on the ground?
Because in that, if you think about in that position, you are unable to do anything. If you're holding on to someone under the shoulders and holding on to somebody who's under the legs, you can't. You're off the ground, okay? So you have no contact with the pavement. You have no contact with the ground. You can't do anything, okay? That's number one. Number two, I've you know, just in my own personal, like, what would you call, private experience, okay? I've had a lot of experience, you know, with old people or elderly people. They are with an organization called AARP, and they can, you know, be encouraged sometimes, I think, to, you know, put up some kind of a, what do you want to call, like, a stink, you know, so they can get their big lawsuit going, you know. And
Well, now you're talking about AARP being in on something, and I would find that very, very hard to believe.
Well, you can find it hard to believe, but let me tell you what I'm mostly trying to say. This does not, to me, look completely legitimate, and I think people have to start looking more critically at this. It sounds to me like they're trying to set up a cop. And ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a cop. Cops have been victimized over and over and over again by some old man or some old lady, like that old, you know, that old bag in Texas. And
the elderly woman, Dave, is what I think I would like to call her, you know.
All right, but you can say that if you want, Mr. Henry. To me, that old bag in Texas who got tased, look what she did. She extorted $80,000 from that small town. And the reason why is because she was an old lady, and people felt sorry for an old lady getting tased, even though she should have been tased like triple the amount of electricity. And it still wouldn't have hurt her, but I think with an old lady like that, you have to tase her to the point where it paralyzes her mouth or something, because she was not going to shut up. And
you're
going to
do something that's really going to hurt somebody, okay? And that what we're talking about here is, did this man, did the police really hurt this man? You're saying no.
No way. No way. No way. And that dude who placed that 911 call, I would like to speak to that man. If he's in the Orlando area, I would like to speak to you, because I don't believe you saw what you saw. I think what you did is you set out that night to start a problem. I think you set out that night to victimize a cop.
Do we know the name of the man that placed that call?
I don't know his name.
Oh, here. No, well, we know the name of the gentleman who was the recipient of this force, Daniel Daly Jr.
Yeah, 84, you know, but a World War II vet? Give me a break. A guy like that who's stuck a bayonet into a German or something, or whatever they did, to say that he is a some kind of a sissy.
Nobody's saying he's a sissy. What they're saying is that this guy was hip-checked violently.
Well, I suspect that that caller is probably the old man. Could be a relative, or could be a member of, you know, like his homeowner. Or would you call a homeowner like that lady? Or something like that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. What's the name of that guy? Did that 911 caller? I'm looking at the article here. You know what? During the break, I'll find it, I'm sure, because we have an extensive article here, and I'm sure that the caller at some point is identified. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. We'll continue with Dave Oliver, who believes that the so-called excessive force in Orlando over the weekend may be they're trying to set up a cop. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Dave Oliver with us. We're going to take some phone calls, too. Obviously, people very interested in this story. It broke yesterday about an elderly World War II veteran who was And I'm quoting again, Dave, violently hip-checked to the ground. You say it's a gentle move, but people say, the witnesses say it was violent. Now, let me just tell you this. There were callers to the from the bar, the Caboose Bar, and the callers were expressing frustration with the owner of a grocery store who was asking that these cars be moved. Cars were reportedly parked illegally on the sidewalk, and the officers were responding to this request. Somebody from the Ivanhoe grocery store called at 10:05 to report a man, quote, going crazy because a car was being towed. He's ex-military. Everyone's telling me he's a wacko, the caller said.
We're right there. There you go. There you go. There you go. See, you know, if you dig deep enough, Mr. Henry, and there it is right there. He's obviously ex-military, which we know. And could it be suffering from post-traumatic? I don't know. You know, World War II veteran. How long does it last if you go through a bad trauma? You know, if you put a bayonet in a Japanese or something. But this guy is obviously nuts. And if he was nuts, then he should be thankful that they did not put the taser gun on him. And you know, that old lady got tased and she got up and walked away and sued. You know. That's probably what this guy's going to do.
Well, there's no doubt there's going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah, by that guy that called 911, who I think put that old man into that situation to get his kicks watching an old man fly through the air.
Now, whoa, man. You're going from saying that guy that called 911 is some kind of a cop hassler to he set it up?
He sounded like the kind of guy that would, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. No, it's a guy that saw it and called it in. Here is Julie in Worcester, Mass. Hello, Julie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I had wanted to comment on the guy's calling. He's calling the man a sissy. How old is that? The veteran.
What is he?
The veteran's 84.
Yeah, and he's 84 years old, and the guy's calling him a sissy. Now, if he's being knocked to the ground, how is he a sissy when he's 84 years old? I mean, I doubt any 84-year-old can tolerate that.
He was in World War II, so, you know, World War II, you heard about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. You know, Japanese, like bayoneting Japs and everything?
Let's not say Japs, all right?
Sorry. So how can you... Well, if he's a World War II veteran... And he's crying about a little hip check. There's something wrong with this picture.
A little hip check. I'm a female, and I have been arrested a couple times, and I have never resisted arrest,
yeah.
And the police have always used excessive force on me. Too much excessive.
Yeah.
He's 80
sure.
some years old. He can't put.
Yes, ma'am.
What 84 year old? I mean, their bones are, you know, they're gonna break. I mean, he's not a sissy. He's
right.
84 years old, and he's being thrown to the ground.
Well, I can see your agenda, ma'am. You're a serial, infringer. You've been arrested before, you say? I mean,
yeah,
I don't think you would have. Yeah, I don't think you'd have a good opinion of cops then. So. I don't think that we're getting
point of view there. No, absolutely, I don't.
Well, no, Dave, you're going to go to the police academy, so you're not exactly objective.
Well, but I know, but I mean, everybody's been dumping on the cops.
I don't have a problem with police, just the ones that lie, and like I was telling your call screener, they stick together no matter what. When I was telling him a story, when I was in jail, one of the officers was making sexual comments to me, and when I threatened to do something about it, the lieutenant actually came down and talked to me about it and threatened lie detector test, and he said he was going to stand by his officers no matter what.
What are you doing going to jail? Most people stay out of jail and like get jobs and stuff.
I mean, that's irrelevant. About that. We're talking about
about how you've been to jail and stuff.
I'm telling a story about how even when you guys are in the wrong, you're going to stick together no matter what.
Well, I mean, even if you were in the wrong, you wouldn't admit you were wrong. You would say you were right. You're calling cops liars. I'm sure, you know. I mean, but the point is, most people stay out of jail, you know. Most people stay out of jail. What are you doing in jail?
Okay,
all right, let's stick with the point here, okay?
Well, she brought it up, Mr. Henry, and, you know, I'm an aspiring police officer, and I want to, you know, I mean, if she's a criminal, then what am I doing talking to her?
She's not a crip. She's saying, in her experience with the police.
Well, I would
I've been in some bad experiences before with them.
But I would have to say then that you're not exactly an unpolluted source, you know?
Look it.
Okay.
What is, in your experience, Julie, what is a hip check, by the way?
I have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
General.
What's a hip check?
Okay,
thank you very much for your call.
877-876-PHIL.
We're having a problem, obviously, tonight, people hearing us.
Well, I can tell you what a hip check, I already told you what a hip check was.
No, I thought if she could tell me in her experience.
Mr. Henry, I seriously doubt if that lady in her experience was even conscious, you know, when police arrested her. She sounds like probably her problem is mostly, you know, she likes a little, let's put it this way. If you ever heard that song, Mr. Bojangles, it goes, I drinks a bit, you know. So, I drinks a bit.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Walter, listening on WTKK in Boston tonight. Go ahead, Walter.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Who's your student of psychology that you have right here? Or student of...
You talking to me?
Say again?
Are you asking me what my name is, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, my name's Dave. What's yours?
Say that again?
I said my name's Dave. What's yours?
Oh, David. My name is Walter.
No, I didn't say David. I said Dave.
Dave. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah. You got the same problem that girl's got, man?
Hey, Dave.
Okay. What can I do for you, Walter?
Okay,
can you hear me now, man? Can you hear me now, man? Can you hear me, man?
Hey, Dave.
All right, hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is David Oliva. He's a student of criminal justice and law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College and eventually wants to make a career of police work. We've been talking to Dave. He's on the line with us about the excessive force story out of Orlando, where some witnesses are claiming that an Orlando police officer used excessive force in hip-checking an 84-year-old World War II veteran who apparently had been going a little bonkers because his car was being towed, Dave.
Well, Andy, I think you need to also mention to your listeners, Mr. Henry, that the people at the grocery store that was next to this caboose bar have been complaining about these cars being parked. See, you know, people who just park their car wherever they feel like parking their car, that says something about that person. That says that they're looking for a problem, you know. If you park your... If it says... Don't park on a sidewalk. And from reading this story, the people were parking on a sidewalk. Okay, already, as a police officer, my antenna goes up and think, okay, somebody wants to rock and roll tonight? Okay, I'm going to rock and roll, you know. If no one wants to not rock and roll, okay, I won't rock and roll, you know. But if you park your car on a sidewalk, okay, you know, I'm going to have to say you're looking to rock and roll. Okay, so now they call up the police. The police come out. And here comes this alcoholic or whatever he is.
He's a World War II. I don't know if he's an alcoholic. The man had a lot to drink.
Well, I mean, he comes out. He's 84. Now, is this guy Superman? No, he is not. Does he think the police officer can't lay a hand on him because he's a World War II vet? If he does, he found out different. And other things, hey, old man, you're 84 and you still don't know where to park your car? Okay, those three things together. That he wanted to rock and roll, that, like, he's stupid, and that he, you know, was also stupid to park his car. That tells me something, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We had Walter hanging on. I apologize to the gentleman. Walter, hi. We're back. We had to take
Hello.
A break, but thank you for hanging on. Go ahead, sir.
Not a problem. I know how the breaks go. Hey, Dave, just to let you know there, bud, you need to go from being a student of criminal justice back into a student of idiocy because you'll never make it at LAPD, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
You'll never, you'll never make it to the academy, bro. And I'm going to just let you know that right now. You're never going to make it. This show is nationally aired. Okay, some of the people making the decision to let you into my beloved LAPD are going to listen to this. Hey,
whatever.
Find
whatever.
A new line of work, okay?
Now, how
find
come you got busted? How come you busted out? Why'd you bust out? How come they fired you? How'd they fire you? Why'd they fire you, man?
Wait a minute. The man didn't say he was fired.
Well, he said he washed out. He washed out.
No,
go ahead.
No. Here's the reason why I washed out. I asked you any questions. Did you hear me?
He washed out.
Well, you let the man talk.
Did you hear me? Yeah, no, I'm not. I can hear you, man.
Did
you washed
you
out,
me,
right?
Dave, I asked too many questions, and the car got too small. You, sir, are never going to make it beyond the gates of the LAPD.
Sure, man. In other words, you were a pain in the ass,
California.
Man. You were weird, man. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What does that mean? Walter, what does that mean you asked too many questions? The car was too small. You didn't get along with your partner or what?
Well, here's the thing with asking too many questions, okay? Question one, why are we so-called policing the poor man's speakeasy when we don't police it in the more upwardly mobile areas?
Hey, man, that's none of your business, man. You're a cop. You're supposed to do what you're told, man. That's none of your business, man.
Okay.
That's none of your business, man.
When the car
man.
Becomes too small, it's only big enough for one person. And that person, if you don't have enough seniority, is not you. You, sir, will never make
it beyond
the gate.
In other words, this guy washed out because he was a discipline problem. That was his problem.
All right.
Period.
All right. All right, Walter, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think he just, police work didn't agree with him.
No, that guy, he was a discipline problem, man. Okay, so let's keep a running score. So far tonight, Mr. Henry, the people I've talked to on your show, one is an alcoholic lady who's a jailbird. The other is a cop that washed out. I mean, these are the people that are defending this man who, you know, tried to put his hands on a cop.
The 84-year-old guy was flipped through the air, I think is what we're talking about, whether he put his hands on the cop or not. Here is Tom in Toronto, Canada, listening on CFRB. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry, I just wanted to tell your guest there, Dave. Dave, you don't have much credibility. First of all, I suggest you take a remedial English course because you can't express yourself properly. 80% of police work is about communication and talking to people. Secondly, I can't believe that you're in
what are you
a college.
About, man? Are you
Sorry?
An Indian? Are you a native person?
Sorry?
Are you a native person? Are you an Indian?
Why are you asking him that?
No,
because
I'm not.
He's got kind of an Indian way. You got an Indian
accent.
What
does that have accent. To do with what we're talking about?
Because the first thing is, when you're talking to me, you're going, you have to have communication, and you sound almost like an Indian or something. Are you a cop?
What difference does that make? The gentleman's asking you a question. Listen, Tom, don't worry about it. Go ahead and make your statement.
What I just wanted to say is, I don't know that much, with all due respect, gentlemen, about your country, but if this is the type of people that are learning to be police officers and can actually get into a school, I feel sorry for you. I really do, and that's not being, you know, cynical or being
rude. What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about a guy.
I cannot understand how somebody like a person like this Dave,
Dave.
Who can't even speak, who can't properly say sentence in proper English, who says
well,
things like messing around and things
weird
like
too,
that.
You know?
Maybe that's the lingo.
Yeah.
By the way, Dave, if you're...
I'm talking American, man.
More than 65 years ago.
I'm talking American, man. What are you talking about? I'm talking American, you know?
The gentleman is just simply saying that when you are, if you're going into a police academy, I'm sure there's going to be written exam. You know, I know a little bit about the L.A. Police Academy because a friend of my sister went through the entire academy first in her class.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Dave. Well, I'll tell you this. You take a written exam.
No, I want to get back to this guy who's all like, were you down in Orlando? Because what happened was this old drunk comes out of this bar and he's all like, yeah, man, my car, I parked it on the sidewalk. How come it's not here anymore? What? What is that about? So then the police come to him.
Dave, wow, God,
hey, man,
God help
are you listening?
Los Angeles.
Are you,
if
oh, my God, are you trying to tell me that
like you, I mean,
oh, my God. So you park your car on the sidewalk in Toronto? Is that what you do? I just want to be clear, man, in case I go to visit.
What does that have to do with hitting an old man?
I'm trying to tell you, man. The guy comes out of the bar.
I park my car on the 50th floor of a skyscraper that doesn't give a police officer the right to hit me.
I think you would. I think in that case, I would hit you.
Well, then I feel sorry for you.
Are you kidding me?
Mr. Henry, I feel sorry for your country. I really do. You should get a better caliber of people in your police force. Anyway, you got a great show.
Listen to this guy calls up to insult America, and I was going to hang up and go watch hockey or
you can't take that,
yeah.
Eh?
You're going to
baby. You're calling people sissies, and I'm insulting America?
Listen, French-Canadian frog ass.
Oh,
yeah,
well, there you go.
You know, didn't I, man? Yeah. Hey, man, how come you're in Toronto? They hate frogs there.
You know what,
they
Mr. Dave?
Hold on, okay? No, they hate frogs in Toronto. What's he doing there, man? You know what? If you don't watch, I'm going to let my friends know you're there.
Oh, I see. Well, that's the American way for you.
Watch your language. Watch your language, you dumb frog. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did, man. You did, man.
Sorry. Well, he busted out with an S. 877-876. First of all, you are baiting my callers.
No, sir, I'm not.
Yes, you are. When the man said, if I park my car on the 50th floor, does that mean I deserve to be hit? And you go, yes.
Mr. Henry, excuse me.
You go, yes. We're asking about competent and responsible and legal police work. And we're asking what are the limits. We're asking what is prescribed as well as proscribed. There's a lot of very serious questions here. And I don't want you thinking that you can take the opportunity to random, willy-nilly insult people.
Mr. Henry, that man said to me, I said that old man parked his car. And, boy, I'll tell you, man, you know, I'm really ashamed. This is America, and that Canadian called up.
Will you shut up? It's got nothing to do with Canadian or American. It's got to do with you baiting that caller. Now, I know the guy parked his car on the sidewalk. I understand that the police were called to get everybody to move their cars off the sidewalk. I understand. This happens a million times a day in both the United States and Canada. Somebody's parking their car where they shouldn't. Here comes the cop. They got to tow it. Okay. What gives the cop the right to hip check, that is, to flip through the air, this old man? And don't tell me that a hip check is picking somebody up and laying them gently on the cement.
Well, that's what it is, if you want to believe it.
That just doesn't sound to me like a very efficient martial arts move in controlling the violence of another individual. Here is Stephen in San Francisco on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hey, we have the facts. You have an injured 84-year-old man, and that's given by the hospital. And you have a person that's a veteran. And this is an example of what Dave is saying is good police work and fine. He's giving the best evidence of why he needs more training before he would ever graduate. I'm all for redemption, but if this is an example of how we would treat elderly and our veterans, what does it say?
Well, sir, Am I supposed to ask the guy before I arrest him? Hey, are you a World War II veteran, sir, before I hip check you? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
God bless you, Dave.
We don't have the time to do that, sir, especially if, like, for instance, a guy is raping a woman. Should I ask him, are you a veteran? Because I don't want to treat you too rough if you're a veteran.
Oh, come on. That's got nothing to do with it. We're talking about a car that was illegally parked, not a rape.
No, this guy wants me to ask people, are you a veteran? That way I will know whether to, arrest you or not. Get out of here, man.
If it's your grandfather that got knocked down, you wouldn't care whether or not he was a veteran or not. If, God forbid, it was your grandfather, and if God bless you,
my grandfather would never come out of no bar drunk and put his hands on a cop,
Dave,
he would never put his hands on no cop, yeah?
Dave, if God bless you, if God blesses you, if God blesses you and lets you get older, you're going to get older, too. And you're going to probably suffer whatever ill treatment you give others because you sound gung-ho and ready to be an abusive cop.
You know, man, this is what you just said, man. This is what you just said, man.
Whatever you put
out. If you get to be older, then you're going to be older. That's what you just said.
To you, Dave. You sound hot under the collar and ready to be an abusive cop.
No, I'm just ready to defend the police, which nobody does anymore.
You're not defending anything because you're not objective. You're not
objective.
Calling injuring an old person, cradling them to the ground. You have no objectivity.
Well, did you see it? Did you see it? You didn't see it. You're not objective either, man. And another thing, you said when you get older, then you're going to be older. Do you remember when you said that?
Okay, we already heard you say that.
That didn't make no sense.
Okay, fine. The gentleman was trying to get out a sentence, and you kept interrupting him. I appreciate your call very much, Stephen. Thank you. And I think what the gentleman said is he was trying to say, had that been your grandfather, had that been, I mean, is that what you do?
Let me tell you, Mr. Henry, when you have an, I don't care if he's 80, if you got a guy and all you can smell is Jim Beam, you got a situation, okay?
All right, so he's drunk.
If a guy comes at you and you take a deep breath and you think of Kessler, smooth as silk, and you like, makes you thirsty, okay, before you go and wet your whistle, you got a guy that stinks of Kessler. What are you going to do? Make a split? Okay, go ahead. What are you going to do?
You asking me?
Yeah.
If I got a guy that what?
If a guy comes to you, even if he comes to you with a tear in his eye, and he stinks of Jack Daniels, what do you do? Quick. This is the kind of reaction we have as police officers.
If a guy comes to me and he stinks of Jack Daniels, what?
Yeah, what do you do?
What do I do? What are you talking about, man? If he comes to me, are you talking about if he's breaking the law?
Well, that part goes unsaid. Yeah, he's breaking the law.
All right, hold on for a minute, man. You know, it doesn't make any difference. If a guy stinks of booze, I mean, you can walk down any city street in America on any given day at any hour of the day, and you'll smell that. 877-876-PHIL. As a matter of fact, I remember smelling it on a guy that, you know, I was working with one night. I'll never forget. This guy comes wheeling into the studio, and boy, you could smell the whatever it was, the Irish whiskey, a block off. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Dave Oliva. Further discussion about the Orlando situation in a moment of the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you do?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and on our video cast every night on our website, philhendryshow.com. If you'd like to watch the show as well as listen to it, you can watch us, and you can watch us mobile with your Android phone or your Evo phone, wherever you are. Wherever you're going tonight, take it with you. So what we have here is the situation in Orlando, Florida, where an 84-year-old man was quote-unquote hip-checked. His neck was broken. He's in the hospital. You've got the 911 calls from at least one witness who said that this was violent. He said he's going to the governor. There's people that are worked up about this, Dave. And we've got a lot of people who have been talking almost to the person that while the police are certainly valued by us, they cannot use excessive force.
What, Mr. Henry, what we have is one witness who called up 911 and then couldn't wait for the reporter of the Orlando newspaper to come to where the old man got, you know, like where they probably tripped him or something, you know, for all that.
No, we can say that he wasn't tripped. He had a broken neck.
Okay. But, I mean, the guy that made the call on 911 also just so happened to be at the scene when the Orlando newspaper writer come, you know, to cover it. And, oh, gee, guess what, man? Oh, hey, hi. I'm the guy that made the 911 call. Can I also be interviewed by you? I bet you he, like, bothered the guy all night and followed him around until the guy said, okay, I'll give you a quote. See, that's the way it works, you know? And did anybody want to get a quote from the cop? No. Did they quote the cop?
Police cop, the cops are not going to talk, man. There's no comment. They're not going to have any comment. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Renee in Orlando, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Renee.
Yes. I want to talk to that CJ instructor. There is no way that use of force should have been done because I worked corrections for 8 years, and I know that they cover up. And for him to take up for them, he know for a fact that he was wrong. And
Well, wait a second. How do you know the old man wasn't lying? They could be lying about the old man having a broken neck. If you ever thought about that. Because, like, look. You know how they took him.
But it's been all over the radio. Why would you say that's a lie when it's been all over the radio?
Because that's what they're telling the radio, but they know, you know, this old man.
We all park where we don't supposed to park and run in and run out. And everyone said how the man was acting, so why did that police think since he was a vet, why did they think that he had some type of mental problem?
Well, because they said to this guy, hey, you got to move. He parked his car on the sidewalk. I mean, that's mentally diseased, you know? But a lot of mental people, like, have you ever seen people that are mentally, you know, they have superhuman strength. I don't know if you're aware of that. Okay? Ma'am?
No. Yes.
You know how? Do you have any people in your family who
are... Regardless, whatever that 84-year-old man did that night, he did not deserve to get his neck broke by none of you officers.
Yeah, except if he had that superhuman strength that a lot of people who are mentally deficient have, you know?
And wait a minute. The guy's a veteran. What do you mean mentally deficient? He was in the United States military. He's lived his entire life. He's in a bar. He's having a drink, you know?
Yeah, and he parks his car on a sidewalk. To me, hello, I don't know what this lady thinks, but I'm sure you agree, ma'am, you don't park your car on a sidewalk.
But the lady said, you run in and you run out. Sometimes we do that.
He wasn't running in and running out, man. He parked his car on a sidewalk and went in and started, draining...
You as an officer, you done did it yourself. Y'all break more laws than anything. Like I said, I work corrections. I know how y'all treat people.
No, we've never break laws.
You know what? I don't care.
You guys in corrections? You're always like smuggling. You smuggle marijuana.
Sue you all. Because know for a fact that did not have to take correction. Thank you.
You work in corrections. You probably smuggle weed in, like, little cigarette packs and stuff. And
don't accuse people of things that you don't know is true.
She works in corrections. She probably brings it in a baggie that she slips up into her...
All right. Thank you very much. Dave Oliva, talking with us about the Orlando excessive force case. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Probably sticks it right up in...
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Tyler asked him, are you a racist? And he said, yes, I am.
We have seen a dramatic spike.
911 emergency time, dispatch reported.
We have a police officer up here being excessive right now.
We have seen a dramatic spike.
Holy boobs. He's a racist. I hate him.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could but can't. Just ask them. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhendryshow.com, with live streaming video and audio of the show right now, as well as downloads of our pre-show rants, because if you miss the pre-show, you miss a whole hour of our show. We actually do 4 hours, 1 hour on video. It's uncensored. We talk about all kind of thing, and you're more than welcome to join.
What do you say?
I'm just doing a southern thing, you know.
But you say more than welcome, what?
More than welcome to join us.
Oh, okay.
Don't get cute with me, okay?
No, you were talking all Southern stuff.
Yeah, I was talking Southern. More welcome to join.
Yeah, how can you understand that?
Thank you very much for pointing that out, bud. I'll take that under advisement.
Just want you to know, the audience can't hear it. Doesn't know.
Yeah, okay, great. Anyway, you're more than welcome to join us at philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour. And there's quite a bit, as you can well imagine. If you were with us, by the way, during our pre-show feed, you guys see the, where is that, bud?
Oh, I forget. I think,
you put it in a cat box.
You put it in a cat box?
Yeah, the newspaper.
I brought that newspaper in. What a dork, man. I brought the paper in because I was showing people the headline. If you're watching the pre-show, you saw me hold up the LA Times that they were leading off eight of those people from the city of Bell to a jail cell. And the city father there, Robert Rizzo, was right there prominent on the front page as the city mothers and fathers of Bell were being led off to a jail cell, all part of that story that we did last night about this city in Los Angeles that has had these people misappropriating the money. These are individuals who are in charge of the city, a city manager. This guy was a city manager there for 20 years, this guy Robert Rizzo. 20 years. He lived in Huntington Beach.
Are you kidding me, man? He didn't live in a town that he was in charge of?
No, that's what I was telling you. I said, where does this cat live, man? He lived in Huntington Beach. He's in charge of the city of Bell, and he lived in Huntington Beach. Eight current and former officials of the city of Bell appeared in shackles. I mean, you got to love it. And the reason why I brought it up on our pre-show again, and the reason why I'm going to talk about it again here, because this is something that, first of all, you talk about democracy in action. I mean, that's one thing. Now, I got to enter in Bell. Is Bell near Oxnard, California? No way. Where is Bell? Oh, Taco Bell. Will you get out of here?
I thought that was a bell.
That ain't Bell. That's Taco Bell. I'm talking about a city named Bell.
Oh, I thought you meant Taco Bell, too.
Are you out of your minds? I was talking about this thing yesterday. Taco Bell. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, it's really a beautiful... Look at this. What is this, bud?
That's Bell, Colorado.
Bell, Colorado? I'm talking about Bell, California. Will you... Somebody, somewhere, give me a map of the place. As Bell's chief administrative officer, Rizzo's accused of secretly accruing a salary of nearly $800,000 a year, illegally lending city money to himself, his assistant city council members, police leaders and officers, an array of city workers ranging from management analysts to a recreation attendant who borrowed $1,500. Now, Bell mismanaged more than $50 million in bond money, levied illegal taxes, and paid exorbitant salaries to its leaders, according to a state audit released on Wednesday. The, I believe, police chief we mentioned was making $450,000 a year. And I'm not saying that being a cop isn't hard. I'm not saying that being a cop in Bell is not even, it's probably an impossibility. But I am saying that $450,000 a year for the chief of police, even for a city as, and you know, it's a sad thing. It's a city with one in six people living in poverty, so I guess that means automatically you better pay the cops real good.
You said I was down near Watts.
If, see this map?
Uh-huh.
Where, what is that?
Well, yeah, I guess it's close.
It's not close, but it's in that, I said it was in the corridor on the way to Pedro. Bell is south of Maywood. It's to the, you know, to the east of Bell Gardens, Huntington Park. It's not what one would call an affluent area. It's right off the 710 freeway. It's right off the Long Beach freeway.
Yeah, but I walked off the 110.
All right. You know what it is, man? It's in that if you look at that square, if you get a map, ladies and gentlemen, look at a square map of Los Angeles. Look at a map of Los Angeles. You'll see Interstate 10. And below it, you'll see 105. Now, if it was a square, on the left-hand side, you'll see the 110. On the right-hand side, you see the 710. In that square is some of the most depressed living in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is my hometown, but I will be the first one to tell you it's the most segregated city probably in the world.
What are you talking about? You're making everybody sound like you're in a Klan. This is not Alabama, or however you say it. I agree with you, man. It is segregated. Yeah, well, you'd say that because you're black. You know, doesn't make any difference. What he's saying, right?
Alabama.
Well, whatever you're saying.
Hey, let me tell you something, Mace. You ain't even old enough, man, so just don't talk. You're looking at Southgate, Walnut Park. Southgate, excuse me for saying this, Southgate is basically carjack country. Cudahy, Maywood. I mean, when I was growing up, some of these towns were, you know, Linwood, you know, you'd see it on TV, the car dealers, and it was sort of suburban then, but man, it's gotten pretty, what is this, Florence Graham, is that the name of a woman or a city?
I think that's like both.
It's a woman and a city, okay. And then, what is this, Central America?
No, Central Alameda.
Oh, okay.
But it's like Central America.
Right. So this is what we're talking about. So there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of, yes, crime. There are a lot of people who are trying to clean their city up. Thank God for the people that did this in the city of Bell. Who were they? What were they? Where did they come from? Who were these angels of oversight? These good citizens who said, something's wrong and we got to do something about it. Who were they? I don't know. But I will forever be in their debt. Yeah, sure. No, they were a group of people that, you know, gave a crap. Here is interviewed by KTLA Channel 5 News in Los Angeles. Here is just a Bell resident as they get, you know, they're getting reaction from the folks today in today's court appearances by their local government leaders.
It's sad. It's really sad to see our elected officials, the people we elected, we put all this trust in, go down this road. People finally are paying attention to the city, finally paying attention to what's happening at City Hall. I think it can be turned around.
Here's a woman who says she almost feels bad for the crooked officials.
All of them all at once. It's very shocking. And more than anything, to see their facial expressions of shame, of guilt, of don't see me hiding behind the lawyers. I feel sorry for them because I guess they never expected to be caught.
So all eight defendants were arrested on Tuesday, appearing first before a judge who postponed their arraignment until October the 21st. No pleas were entered. Rizzo was singled out for criticism in the state controller's audit, which said he had a total control of city funds and used some of the money to inflate his salary and pay off personal loans. All right, so what we got here is a situation of very crooked public officials and the some of the people who are watchdogging this thing, just citizens of the city. And then they got the L.A. Times involved, and then media got involved. These people are they're heroes, you know, they're great American heroes. But like any other situation where everyone likes to celebrate and say, yay, we did a great thing, and like I mentioned on the pre-show, Bell is going to fall back into the same dysfunction. They're not going to have crooked officials. They'll have honest people, but they're going to have honest people that are overwhelmed. In other words, they're going to have a city like every other city in America. They're not all crooked, you know. Not all these people are taking money. Just there's a lot of problems. You watch. There's going to be a very well-meaning and very nice and very strong and very good and very committed and patriotic people that will take the jobs there in Bell, and they'll be up to their ass in alligators. They won't know where to start. And then, within 6 months to a year, guess what will happen? You got it. Bitching and moaning and crying and complaining because that's all still the same. And why is that? Because they expect 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 people to do all of the work while everybody else sits on their ass waiting for it to get better. That is life in America.
That's not always the way it is, except maybe most of the time.
What do you say about the people don't care? I'm sure they do care.
Of course they care. They're just not going to do anything about it, man. They care this much. They elect someone, and like anybody, you know, we hate being treated like garbage on our jobs, don't we? We all hate our bosses and our supervisors who treat us like crap. But if you look at it, the American people are exactly the same way with the people that they hire and they elect to represent them to get jobs done. We're the same way. We stand there looking at our watch, tapping our toes, and telling them how crappy they are and how lousy they are and how crappy they're doing their job. And why don't you guys work miracles? Come on, I'll give you a whole 5 minutes to work a miracle and make this whole thing just so much better. And if they don't, they're criminals and they're crooks. This is an example of real criminals and real crooks right here. You want to know what got rid of them? People. People. Because the cops, and by the way, the chief of police in Bell was not arrested and has not been accused of a crime, and I do not believe that the man is a criminal, but I will tell you this, he's making $450,000 a year. $450,000 a year. That is more money, Some very, very significant Fortune 500 VP jobs don't pay that. So, that's what's going on.
Why don't you do the what you were saying on the show?
On the pre-show?
Yeah.
No, it's too...
It was good, though, man.
I don't care. It's too much, man. I'll do a shortened version of it. I said that it's all about character, and we'll see what kind of character the people of Bell have, but I'm not singling you guys out. What kind of character the American people have? Right after 9/11, we all got together, and we were holding hands, and everybody was loving on each other, and it was patriotic, and oh, yeah, man. 9 years later, we're all at each other's throats. There you go. That's our character. The top 10 most stolen cars in the U.S. Now let's talk about something that really reflects, I think, in a positive way on our young people, on all of us. The top 10 stolen cars in the U.S. Let's hope they're Japanese. I'm joking. That's not even really all that funny.
No, it isn't.
Plus, a woman's body is cut in half to treat an aggressive cancer, and she survived. Can you imagine? We cut your wife's body in half, and she's alive. Oh, that's, well, I'll be a son of a gun. Yeah. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show, our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Now, what we're going to do, I want you guys tracking this stuff. You understand?
Yeah, so you're going to tell us about a story you want to find out about.
Well, the one with, what do you call it, that N-word.
That's the story I want to tell people about, but I want you guys tracking this. And what do I mean by that? I have often said on this show, and I continue to say on this show, that what is called news today is the result of, and I try to make this clear, but I know that it's tough for people to understand. People are not getting news. People are getting the regurgitation of panic from a multi-billion dollar industry. People are getting panicked regurgitation. In other words, whatever it is that they think will sell their newspapers, sell their magazines, sell their subscriptions, sell their TV network, whatever they think is going to keep people coming back to them, they'll keep throwing at them. Does that mean it's news? Does that mean it's important? Does that mean that it's even true? No, 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 1,000 times no. People have a trust in the news media. People think that they're smart, but they're not. They trust the news media. They say they don't trust politicians, but they trust the news media. They ought to be thinking opposite of that, but they don't, and they don't want to be told what to do, so I get it. Now, here's what I want. I want you guys to track this so-called story. Now, here was the headline, and this is NBC in Denver. And I think that we're on in Denver. Yes, we are. KRCN, right?
Yeah.
All right. There's a news story in Denver about a teacher that apparently... Where is this damn story before I lose my bloody mind? An English teacher accused of being a racist. Accused of being a racist. Accused... Not is a racist, accused of being a racist. Well, it must be true, huh? Well, an English teacher accused of being a racist says his words were taken out of context, that he made a huge mistake. Timothy Thornton was put on paid administrative leave for the 2 weeks after school administrators learned he used the N-word in class and offended a black student. Thornton said he used the word after it was left blank in a story his class was reading on Wednesday. Thornton spoke to some bullcrap news agency in Denver. He said he was upset by the situation, mostly because he hurt one of his students. Tyler.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for the story, because what I just got sent is like the most worthless thing I think I've read in weeks. What happened was this, folks. This teacher used the N-word. Now, that's not a shock, because teachers use the N-word, and we hear about it, and we think they're a racist. But that wasn't the situation. He used the N-word out of context in a very, very bad situation. It was a stupid thing to do. He admitted it was stupid. Number two, the question that I asked during the break, which you guys didn't find out about it, is he a racist?
Well, yeah, he said he was.
No, he said he was to a student as a response to a question that might have been a joke, and it might have been him joking back. But the school is not releasing any information because it's a personnel issue. So what do we have? We have Channel 9 in Denver, which probably, you know, has a hard time figuring out what news is. And then they decide, well, here's something interesting. Here's a teacher that used the N-word and upset a black student. He must be racist, and he admits he has a fascination with the KKK, and his discipline for making racist statements in the classroom and admitting to students his fascination with reading about the KKK is that he's put on administrative leave. Folks, I have a fascination with reading about Nazis.
Well, then they'd say you're a Nazi.
Really? Is that what I am? I'm a Nazi? Well, I got a fascination about reading about the KKK. I have a fascination with reading about the Black Panthers. Now they say that this guy, quote, admitted to being a racist. Do you believe that, folks? Do you believe that a public school teacher who's been placed on administrative leave, all right, has admitted to being a racist? Do you think that that's the truth? Listen to what this teacher said. Now, this is a very, very bold and brave statement for a teacher to make. In fact, he's speaking for a lot of white people when he says the following. He admitted to having racist thoughts and racist feelings. This is something he's been struggling with all of his life. He said his uncle had been in the Ku Klux Klan. He also admitted to the fact that lighter-skinned students may get a better grade in his class than he would judge or teach a black student different than, wait a minute, that they might get a better grade in his class than he would judge or teach a black student different than he would a white student, and it was very disturbing. What he's talking about is the subtle racist sensibility that every white person in this country has, whether they want to admit it or not. He's being a teacher. He's being a teacher. And for that, he gets to be put on administrative leave. Here's a guy that is talking to his students about what it is to be a human being and to be a citizen of the United States, to be a certain ethnicity, and to be dealing with the reality of this country and its struggles and its challenges. Being very honest about this, he's put on administrative leave, and Channel 9 in Denver makes him out to be some kind of a racist. And when they printed a follow-up, they didn't even have the guts to clarify what the guy was talking about when he talked about being a racist. They printed a follow-up story, and I asked my producer, is there a clarification about the N-word in there and the racist comment? He goes, no, they didn't deal with it. Well, of course they didn't deal with it. Here's another example of what I was talking about. This Roger Coleman scumbag. Roger Keith Coleman was a guy that was put on the front page of Time magazine in the early 1990s because he was on death row. And you guys have heard the story, but this is what I mean about news media and following up. They put him on the cover of Time magazine and said that this is an innocent man. Are we going to kill an innocent man? Right? Well, we did. I didn't say innocent, but they did put him to death in the state of Virginia because he was accused of rape and murder. And they were sure they had the right guy. They put him to death. Well, for the next 10 years after this piece of garbage was dropped down a rat hole, he had a bunch of lawyers working on his dead behalf to prove that an innocent man did get executed. I'll tell you what the result of that was when we come back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So what?
You said a man not a racist. You said that that's not even a story.
Look it. I'm a white guy, okay? You can see that.
Yeah.
All right. I've had racist thoughts. I've said racist things, you know. And I'm not even going to comment on whether Robert does it because he's black, okay, bud?
Yeah, but you know, you won't admit to it.
We ain't talking about that right now, are we?
But just because you're black don't mean that you're not racist.
I'm not talking to him about that. Do me a favor, will you, man? Let me just do this, okay?
You think every white person's racist, and you never want to talk about a black guy doing it neither.
I ain't talking about a black guy doing it right now. He was asking me about this teacher in Denver. Is that right?
Yeah. You said that guy is not a racist, even though he said he'd had racist thoughts.
Every white person has them. Every white, and I don't give a damn what. And you want to know something? I'm willing to believe every black person has them. I got my own thoughts and feelings on that. I ain't about to explain it to you, bud, okay?
Why not? You think I'm stupid?
You want the honest answer to that?
Ha ha ha.
Shut up.
Ha ha.
Just be quiet for a minute. So this guy says to his students, I've had racist thoughts, I've had racist feelings, and the way I perceive things may be very racist. Now, do you think this guy wants to get fired?
I don't care, man. I'm just saying that makes him racist.
Well, you know, if you don't care, then I can't talk to you, because I'm asking you an honest question. You think the guy wants to be fired?
No.
Then what? Why would he say something like that if not to illustrate a point about being a human being, white or whatever, in America?
Yeah, well, okay, and what about Martin Luther, or what's his name, Malcolm King?
Hey, man, don't screw it up on purpose.
What do you mean, Martin Malcolm King? You talking about Malcolm X?
Me.
Sound like that guy didn't do the right thing. What was the guy's name?
Malcolm X and Martin Luther King.
Okay, what about them? Ain't they racist?
No, they're not racist. Oh, God, man.
Martin Luther King, man, believed in peace. Malcolm X believed in to defend by any means necessary.
Fine. You guys done? I got to finish this Roger Coleman story. All right, now Roger Coleman, this is a guy that was accused of raping and murdering his sister-in-law. And this piece of garbage, who is about 6 years younger than me, so if he were alive, he would be 52 years old. In 1992, he was finally put to death. And when he was put to death, the state of Virginia put him to death, and when he was put to death, oh my goodness, they just cried and they squirted tears all over the world for this poor man because, everybody was convinced the guy was innocent. They came from all over the world, man, to protest at the site of where this man was executed, which I believe it was someplace in Virginia, I guess, the prison.
Yeah, probably where they had him.
Well, on death row.
Yeah. So now comes some lawyer who I'm sure is a well-meaning man, and I believe that I believe very much in the Innocence Project and projects like that that are finding out that there are innocent men in prison, and they are doing it primarily through DNA evidence, and I think that's great work. I honestly do. This guy who was the attorney working on behalf of the late Roger Keith Coleman, who's now dead, believed that this man, Roger Keith Coleman, was innocent. Why is that? Because he was convicted on a ton of circumstantial evidence. He was convicted on there was no real DNA evidence in those days. He was put to death in 1992. But the state of Virginia felt they had a very, very strong case. The jury agreed. They put him to death. End of story. Now comes this lawyer and others like him who are saying, we're going to prove that this guy was an innocent man. Okay. Now, Time Magazine put this guy, this Roger Coleman, on the cover of their magazine. Are we about to execute an innocent man? And then he gets executed. Now comes, I think it was 2003 or 4, where Coleman's attorneys, that is the Innocence Project, I don't think it was the Innocence Project, I think it might have been a different group of people, they now have finally wrested from the governor of Virginia a promise to test the DNA that they still had as evidence. Now understand that at the time, they could not or did not have the adequate means to test and to corroborate DNA evidence. This was back in the 80s, maybe the early 90s. But by the turn of hour, the test was confirmed in 2006. Thanks, Jace. All right. So by the time the turn of the century rolled around, DNA evidence was now being tested and very, very quickly and was being used in court. It was being used in criminal proceedings. Now comes 2006, and they finally get from the governor of Virginia, let's test this DNA evidence. And I watched this thing on television, and I got to admit, I'm sorry, and this is probably wrong, I laughed. I laughed out loud because they had the camera on the lawyer who was convinced that this Roger Keith Coleman was innocent. Yes, that's right, I believe an innocent man, you know, and all this poor guy. And now the phone call comes, and he's in his office. Hold on for a minute, that's got to be the test result, sure. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. This guy never lost a smile on his face. Uh-huh. 98%. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Guess what? It was him, all right. He wasn't innocent. We didn't kill an innocent man. As a matter of fact, it's never been proven that an innocent man has been put to death in the United States of America. Never. Now, I'm not saying it ain't ever happened. But no one can say to you, an innocent man was executed by the state of blah, 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 boom, 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 or the federals this or that or something else. Not within the last, I don't know, man, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what about
Jesse James? Well, he wasn't innocent, was he?
No, and he didn't. He was shot by a guy in his house.
Well, that public execution.
Now, that wasn't capital punishment.
No, he was shot by some cat in his house. Only Jesse James.
What about Billy the Kid?
He was shot by another guy.
Well, what about the famous ones?
I don't know, man. Billy the Kid was shot by a guy. Jesse James was shot by a guy. Who else?
What about that Bat Masterson?
I don't know about Bat Masterson. What are you guys talking about, man?
Well, you're talking about the 1960s, like Wyatt Earp. Who shot him?
Wyatt Earp was a cop, okay?
Yeah, but who shot him?
Nobody shot him. The cat died in the 20s. I don't know. He died of a natural,
died of an overdose?
An overdose of what? Are you an idiot or something? He was Wyatt Earp, okay?
Well, but how did he die?
Probably a heart attack or something, old age. I don't know, man. An overdose.
Well, you said he died of, and I was going to say overdose.
It wasn't an overdose, bud. Wyatt Earp died in the 20s. But I don't know, maybe. But the point is this. What I'm trying to say is the following thing. You know, Time Magazine had this guy on the cover. Now, this is where I'm going with this. Now, when this thing happened in 2006, and I believe it happened in the month of January, I went to the Time Magazine archive, and I looked at every damn issue. I'm telling you right now, I looked through every issue through the month of January of 2006 because I wanted to see what Time Magazine was going to write as a follow-up some, whatever it was, 15 years later to their big-ass cover story. That cover story, and it shows you how much the magazine itself has changed, but that cover story in 91, whatever it was a very, very, that was a big event. When because this guy, this Roger Coleman guy, you talk about a psychopath. This guy looked straight into the camera. He would give lectures to junior high school students, to middle school students. He would have kids writing him letters. He had people, yes, I'm an innocent man, and just, you know, treat people good, and all of this bull crap, right?
I got bladder inflammation.
Who does?
Wyatt Earp.
Oh, yeah, that's how he died.
Okay, great. Can we get off of Wyatt Earp now?
No, but I want to know how he... Didn't he get, like, cystitis or something?
Yeah, I had, like, my girlfriend had cysts, but that didn't kill her.
Yeah, huh? What about that?
Will you guys knock it off? I'm talking about something else. Yeah, thank you very much, Robert. Yeah, bladder inflammation killed Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, I just wanted to know.
Thank you very much.
Well, at least you know he wasn't sent to electric chair.
Why would I think they sent Wyatt Earp to the electric chair? Why would I think that, bud?
Because you're talking about it.
Yeah, but he was a cop. He was a cop.
Well, they didn't have no cops then, right? They had like, a deputy.
It was a cop, man. Whether they called him a deputy or not, he was a cop. A cop. Why would I think he'd go to the electric chair?
Well, all right. I didn't know.
Yeah, no. He didn't go to the electric chair, and I would never think that Wyatt Earp would go to the electric chair because he was a cop. A deputy, if you want.
Yeah, they don't have no cop.
What the hell do you think they are, man?
They're called marshal.
All right, they were called marshals. It's still a cop. So this guy Coleman, I'm looking through the January issue. This man might be innocent. Now, this was on the cover of Time Magazine. This man might be innocent. This man is due to die. Roger Keith Coleman was convicted of killing his sister-in-law in 1982. The courts have refused to hear evidence that could save him. His execution is set for May 20th. Wow. The courts have refused to hear evidence that could save him. So there's Time Magazine in all of their self-righteousness. And let's not forget millions and millions of people around the world beating their chests. Mea culpa. Oh, baby. This dirtbag who raped and murdered his sister-in-law. And the details of the crime, you should look them up. I'm not about to go into it. It was brutal. It was gruesome. what this man did. And now he goes to his death with students, middle school students, and he's writing them letters, and he's lecturing, and he's got these anti-death penalty people from Germany are coming over and kissing his ring. And oh, yeah. And he even went so far, he even was this unbelievably psychopathic. On the day that he died, I believe his journal entry said something along the lines of, an innocent man is about to go to his death, all that bull crap. And then as he sat there waiting for the, whatever the hell they did to him, what do they call that, man?
Like a joy juice or something like that?
Yeah, joy juice.
Joy juice? You mean lethal injection?
Yeah.
Joy juice. So as they were going to pump the lethal injection into him, I believe his last words were, you're killing an innocent man, right? So, I mean, this guy played it to, it was the electric chair. That's fantastic.
You kidding me? They didn't put a dry sponge in there, did they?
That would have been funnier than hell.
No, I don't know if the sponge was dry or not. But anyway, yeah, they cooked his ass good. Now comes 2006, and they find out, yes, it was him. Yes, the DNA evidence bears it out. Yes, 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 yes. And the lawyer, within seconds, it was a fantastic documentary. The lawyer sits down and says, I was obviously conned. I mean, within seconds. I honestly believed he was innocent. I honestly believed he was innocent. The guy couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that an attorney, a criminal defense attorney, could be such a babe in the woods. That was just Phil Hendry, okay? That's just me talking. So this dirtbag was guilty and obviously... And the thing that didn't happen was Time Magazine did not publish a thing about the DNA test results. It was almost as if news, 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 news. Okay, on to the next news. News, 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 news. Well, what about, are you guys going to follow with it? No, 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 we're all done with that. News, 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 news. So you just sort of propagandize something, and I get it, man. It's like, what are people interested in? Okay, cool. Boom, 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 boom. On to the next thing they're interested in. Boom, 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 boom. On to the next thing they're interested in. So don't you do any follow-up or investigative journalism or anything like that? Well, yes, we do, but not anything that's going to make us look bad. So I just thought I'd tell you, that's why I want you guys following stuff up.
Well, we're not like we're going to find that a guy like Wyatt Earp died electric chair.
What is it with you and Wyatt Earp?
He's saying, if we found that out, wouldn't you want to talk about it?
You ain't going to find that out, man, okay?
No, but if we did, that would be big.
If you did, yes, it would be big. You're not going to find it out.
No, but I'm thinking, what can we follow up about what you're doing now? I can look into Wyatt Earp and find out if he did die.
If he did die?
No, no, no. I mean, I know he's dead, but if he... Well, what year did he die?
In the 20s, Robert. He's dead.
All right. But you would find out. What if you found out?
If I found out what?
That he died in an electric chair.
I ain't going to find out that he died in the electric chair. There's nothing that you will ever find out that he died in the electric chair. If you came to me with a news story that said Wyatt Earp died in the electric chair, I'd tell you it's horse dung.
All right, man, but I'm just saying, you're the one that's saying we need to follow up.
You follow up on something from the planet Earth, man, not some hallucination, okay? Anyway, we are going to follow up on stuff. And anyway, the 10 most stolen cars coming up next. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. What if I find out Wyatt Earp died in an electric chair?
Yeah, but a bladder inflammation.
That's not going to happen, man.
Well,
Phil Hendry Show of bladder.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Finally got to use it.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, right after the show tonight. If you go over to our website, within about a half an hour, we have a show log that we put up each and every night, and it gives you a description of our character segments, and you can check those out. Then you can go and listen, download the show from iTunes or our website or wherever, and listen to the show. You can also watch and listen to our video cast, which is on a five-day archive, and you can... download our archives, our classic Phil, all kinds of things. A lot of fun, man, over there. State's new death chamber ready for first to get a load of this, man. I didn't know we had a new death chamber.
Yeah, they're going to use it, man. They're finally going to put somebody down for the count.
I see. I don't believe in a lethal injection and everything.
You don't believe in death penalty.
Uh-uh.
Why, man? You hear what this man did?
You can't judge people on account of that. You have to have a Christianity and everything.
Yeah, okay, bud. Look, like the man said, it ain't Sunday, man, so we don't need a sermon.
Yeah, but you guys get to talk about what you want.
Well, all I'm saying, man, they ain't put nobody to death in California in 5 years. About time.
I agree with him.
Yeah, I bet you do. You agree with him because he's black and you don't want to be a racist.
But you shut up with that, okay?
Everything with you, man, is race.
No. Everything with you is race.
Everything with you, man, comes down when I disagree with you. Oh, you're black, 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 black.
He's right.
Oh, yeah, sure he's right.
He is. He's right. And a lot of times I stick up for you, but he's right. Everything with you and him is black, white, black, white, black, white. Everything.
No. I agree with him on a lot of stuff, too.
Yeah. Okay, so you disagree with him now. Why's it got to be because he's black and you're white?
Because most of the guys, he should agree with me, and most of the ones they're going to put on an electric chair is black.
They don't even have no electric chair, you fool. They got lethal injection. Injection?
Lethal injection. Just shut up for a minute, both of you guys, so I can read this. Everything with you is black and white, man. You know that?
That's what the man said. That's make a world go round.
What? What is that?
Yeah, what does that mean, man?
San Quentin, California. California's new lethal injection chamber at San Quentin is set to be put to use next week with the state's first execution in nearly 5 years. Great. As far as I'm concerned, couldn't happen too soon. Albert, don't roll your eyes, bud, okay?
You're that's not Christian.
Oh, well, listen to the... All of a sudden, you're a missionary. Is that it?
Man, what do you mean Christian?
Albert Greenwood Brown, 56, is scheduled to die in the chamber September the 29th. Do you want to know what this guy did, bud?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, huh? Well, I think I'll tell you anyway. He's going to go down for the count on the 29th. You know why? He raped and he murdered a 15-year-old Riverside County girl who he abducted on her way home from school in 1980. There was a mother and a father and a family waiting for that child, and they never saw their baby again. She was raped and then murdered by this guy.
Yeah, so...
Oh, so. Oh, well. So.
I don't mean so on account of that, but the Bible says you're not allowed to.
What are you talking? You talk like a simple-minded idiot. You know that?
What do you mean?
I mean the Bible said don't kill, like being a murderer and stuff, man. This is eye for the eye. You ever seen the Bible eye for the eye?
You mean eye for the eye. You mean eye for an eye.
Okay, whatever. The $835,000 facility built with inmate labor was... I love this. I'm loving this more and more. Built with inmate labor was completed in 2008, 2 years after District U.S. Judge Jeremy Fogel halted executions in California because he's a dumbass. How about that, Judge? So we got ourselves a brand new death chamber and inmates built it. I see nothing wrong with a man putting his sweat and his toil into a building that he should learn... You don't want to do the things you do. You want to stay the hell out of this here death house.
Right.
And now, after 5 years, finally, we're going to put some guy... This guy was adjudicated guilty, given the death penalty, down for the count he goes.
You want revenge.
Do I want revenge? No, let me think. No, I want a psychopath put out of commission. I want a guy that can't be rehabilitated... thrown down a hole. I want him thrown onto a garbage pit. And guess what? If he dies and goes to heaven and Jesus loves him and God loves... That's great! If you think this guy is, you know, is as innocent as the driven snow, he's going to croak, he's going to go to heaven, Jesus is going to take him in, everything's beautiful, and we won't have to have him here.
You talk really big. What would you do if you was going to be in a death chamber?
I guess I'd deserve it. I don't know, man. If I was in it... What do you mean? What would I do? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean, man? Like he committed a crime?
Yeah, if you were going to be down for the count.
I guess I'd be upset about it.
Yeah, so?
What? Get out of here, you idiot.
You would be.
Yes, I would. So I guess I won't commit any crimes. Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wigan. And, of course, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. Thank you. PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com for all of your Phil Hendry radio comedy needs.
You go down for the count.
Oh, why don't you go down for the count?
Yeah, you wish.
Phil Hendry.
That's what she said.